Yeah.
Last year, and I need that to be corrected.
So, what a follow up.
Yeah, so it's the three of us.
Hello, everyone. So we're a little, it's an intimate group, but the idea of today, and welcome to those of you on Zoom as well, the idea of today is that when we have new senators, we want to sort of give an orientation and I can remember the feeling of becoming the dean of faculty and my first year and not being relatively new to governance and being overwhelmed by all the rules and structure to the faculty senate. And so last year we introduced an orientation to help people so that they really can feel like they have a voice in the Senate, I think, and get past the intimidation of all the rules and regulations of it. This is our Senate, and so hopefully exposing you to the structure of it and how it works will be beneficial. And the idea is also today to ask questions so that when we get to our first faculty Senate meeting, you have a comfort level. What you're seeing behind here is last year's poster. So we've been creating a mosaic of the senators, and you will physically receive one to your office. And the idea is for you to put it outside your office door so that you're identified as the senator for your unit. And hopefully people bring content to you, or even, you know, when you share things that we talk about in the faculty senate, because they're going to all want to talk to you about it, then they can know where to go if they want to introduce topics or respond to topics. And so you will see this probably showing up in October, November, because we're holding out for five departments. We try to be inclusive. Next slide, please. I'm going to do the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaiakono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gaiakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gaiakono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of the Gaiakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Next slide, please. So welcome to all the new senators here, physically here and online, and welcome back if there are any returning senators. And I just wanted to remind people, especially those of you who are in the room, the president is holding a reception for all of the assemblies, so faculty senators are included, and so every one of you are invited to a party, a reception immediately after, right across the street in the Ramen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but that's my pronunciation, Ramen Parlor and Sage Hall across the street. Next slide, please. So I'm the Dean of Faculty. I'm the current Dean of Faculty. My name is Eve DeRosa. I am a faculty member in the Department of Psychology, and this is my third year in this role. And I'm going to introduce you to the Associate Dean of Faculty.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. My name is Chelsea Specht. I'm a professor in plant biology in the School of Integrated Plant Sciences. I am the Associate Dean of Faculty, and I have, this will be my second year coming on. Boy, that year was very quick and also very long. I'm sure many of you feel the same about your lives these days.
And here's our speaker.
Hello, hello. I am Jonathan Oxhorn, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Architecture. And my role is a kind of facilitator. In principle, I'm aware of the rules governing these procedures. But each time we meet, I hope that there are no disruptions. And essentially, we simply follow the agenda, which makes things work out best.
I am very thankful that we have Jonathan on our team. And so the University Faculty Committee is the executive committee of the Office of the Dean of Faculty. And the University Faculty Committee, if there are members here who are present, could you please stand up? Or put your hand up online. But the University Faculty Committee are elected by the entire faculty. And so all 4,000 to 5,000 of us play a role in electing. And I should mention that both Chelsea and I were elected by the faculty. Thank you. and also the University Faculty Committee. All right. This is the time that, oh yeah, you guys are done. This is the time that I would love to invite Senate committee chairs to just take a moment and stand up, introduce themselves. Sometimes we have the delegate of the chair. And so we just, a sentence, very concise, of what exactly your committee, the purview of your committee. I should let you know there are 12 Senate committees and one working group associated with the office. So we're going to start with the Faculty Committee on Program Review, and the chair is Sylvia Ferrari, and I believe she's on Zoom.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I hope you can hear me and see me, although I'm not standing up. And so I am the chair of the Faculty Committee for Program Review. I'm also a professor. I'm the John Brancaccio Professor of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering, and also of Electrical and Computer Engineering, and Associate Dean for Cross-Campus Engineering Research, which is why I'm presently at the Cornell Tech in New York City. So just as a brief introduction to our committee, as you may know, the university requires all degree granting departments and fields, or even institutes, to undergo a self-study and external review every 5 to 10 years. And so our committee essentially oversees that process. It's a professorial committee that is composed of members of the faculty from all departments. And we typically assign 2 to each review in self-study. Their only purpose is to oversee the process, since the review is conducted by an external committee of scholars. And furthermore, these faculty are nominated by the provost and the department chairs from across the university. And typically, we assign them so as to be from a different school than the department or field that is being reviewed. So I hope this gives you some idea what we do. And thanks for having me today.
Thank you, Sylvia. So the Academic Freedom and Professional Status of the Faculty Committee. And Tracy, I don't know if you're here. There we go. Tracy Stokel.
Hi, I'm Tracy Stokel. I'm a professor of
up at the College of Veterinary Medicine, and I'm chair of the Committee of Academic Freedom and Professional Status of Faculty. We have 9 members on the committee from all across campus, which is great. And we look at issues related to academic freedom, as well as anything related to the tenure and promotion process. And currently, one of the things that we're going to be working on this year is coming out, hopefully, with a statement on collaborative scholarship for the university. So if anyone has any input, please send it to any of the committee members. And I think that's it for us.
Thank you, Tracy. And Bob Weiss is on Zoom, and he is for the A.D. White Professors at Large program. And Bob Weiss, if not, we can move on. I'll come back to Bob. I know he had to leave. So there's the Faculty Committee on Music. Deb is, I believe, in the room. I don't know. No? Okay. I'll come back to that. And then we have...
No, wait. I'm here. I'm virtual.
Oh, there you go. Oh, okay.
Hi, I'm sorry. This is fun.
And we have a visitor.
Yes. I'm here. Bruce Johnson is the faculty chair in our committee, but he is welcoming a new grandchild today. So that's exciting. So I'm Deb Justice. I'm the concert manager at the Cornell Concert Series, which is the purview of the Faculty Committee on Music. The concert series has been presenting the world's greatest musical traditions for 120 years at this point. And the Faculty Committee really helps to guide that content. And they also serve by sharing information about this resource. We're always looking for new members. We have bylaws where it's a limited service term. So we really enjoy the fact that we can get input from different professors and from different areas of the university. It's really helpful for us. And I think it makes it a much stronger series. This being our 120th year, I'm supposed to remind everybody that we are doing a reception celebrating that with an exhibit opening on the 15th in the music library. So we'd love to see you all there. And if you're interested in finding out more information about what we do, that would be a great place to do that with snacks.
Thank you, Deb. So we have athletics and physical education. There we go. So John Sipple.
Thanks. My name is John Sipple. I am not the chair of this committee. Frank Rossi is the chair, but I'm doing my best imitation of Frank, which is not very good if you know Frank. But Frank has led this committee for quite a while. I serve as ex officio on the committee. I'm your faculty athletic representative, which every university has one faculty member that represents faculty and student interest to the NCAA and to their league. So I serve in that role externally to the university. And then Frank runs an on-campus focused committee made up of about 10 faculty from across the college, or across all the colleges, along with student representation and athletic department representation, to provide both oversight over the Department of Athletics and Physical Education, but also support. And there's guidance, there's input, there's a pretty healthy dialogue that goes back and forth around the role of physical education, athletics, varsity sports, 37 teams, 1,200 student athletes, and how that it all operates on this campus. So I work closely with Frank, and he sends his best.
Academic policies and procedures. Mark, I believe, is on Zoom. Mark Milstein.
I am. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes. Thanks, Mark.
Okay. Hello. Greetings from the other side of the world. Sorry I couldn't be there with you today. I'm Mark Milstein. I am a clinical professor of management over at the Johnson School in the College of Business. I chair a CAP, which is the Committee on Academic Programs and Policies. Our committee basically looks at programs and policies. We'll review them, the ones that are independent or extend beyond the single or joint jurisdiction of a school or college faculty. We'll screen those proposals formally, academic programs, degrees, or policies, and we can examine policies governing the use of or plans for university-wide academic facilities and services, such as libraries, classrooms, or computers. We usually get the request to review material directly from the dean of faculty, and then we summarize at the end of the year all the different things that we have reviewed in the prior academic year.
Thank you, Mark. Financial Policies Committee, Luis Schlang is online.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. This is Luis Schlang, professor in the College of Veterinary Medicine and chair of the Financial Policies Committee. I'm sorry, I'm joining from home. I have to take care of my two-year-old daughter at 4:30, so I wouldn't be able to make it on time. This is an 11-person committee representing contract and endowed colleges that is tasked with tracking the financial conditions and policies of the university, developing priorities based on educational considerations that should be reflected in the budgets. We assist the administration with the budget planning processes and provide oversight of that for the Senate, and consider the financial implications of financial aid retirement policies, faculty salary levels. We also are, if anybody has any questions regarding how financial policies affect their work, educational mission, research, extension, please get in contact with us and we will analyze and convey your concerns to administration as appropriate. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Luis. I just want to see if Bob Weiss is online. And if not, the 80 White Committee for Professors at Large, that's a committee that has representation across the five disciplines. And if you don't know the large program, it's taking world-renowned scholars in life science, physical science, arts, humanities, and social sciences. And they visit the campus multiple times over multiple years. We've had the opportunity to have some really amazing professors here. And so that's the committee. It's a Senate committee that oversees that work. The other committees that couldn't be present today are the Education Policy Committee. And
I'm here.
Oh, yay. Oh, good. Sorry, Rebecca. Awesome. Rebecca Nelson, here you go.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So the Educational Policy Committee, as the name suggests, will take on any issue related to the topic for which Dean DeRosa would like our two cents. And some of the recent and pending examples of what we've deliberated upon and commentated upon was include the provost part-time bachelor's degree program, if that's the right, probably not the right way to say it, but that was quite an interesting debate that we were able to chime in on. Procedural changes proposed by the registrar with regard to class scheduling. Our committee is able to offer some, you know, given our diversity across campus, our some nuanced opinions about what might matter there for our students and ourselves. Rules regarding academic work during breaks. I think we got on the boards with some minor tweaks for that. And we have a pending issue around academic integrity processes. And so those are just a sort of sample of the types of things that the Dean DeRosa might call upon us to weigh in on that quite interesting debate. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. And the library board, I do know that Ravi could not be here. The library board, and I'm just gonna read from the website. The University Faculty Library Board helps to formulate broad library policy, represents the interests of the libraries to the faculty as well as the university administration. And this is something that this committee really is about, the health of the library system, and it has to be external to the assessments from within the library. So it keeps the university librarian informed of the needs and concerns of the faculty and students, while maintaining and promoting the welfare of the university libraries. And then the lectures, the University and Messenger Lectures Committee, this is another visiting lectureship. Obviously we want people of high recognition of their scholarship, and for close to 100 years, they have been brought to the campus, and the at-large program and the University and Messenger Lectures sort of visiting scholars programs were from the very founding of the university. You know, they knew that they were founding Cornell in this relatively isolated place, and so the idea was to bring the world here. And so it's both are wonderful programs. And the reason I do that is so that you can see sort of the breadth of topics that will come to the Senate that you'll be able to inform. So next slide, please. Oh, sorry. Oh, yes, but sorry. It's, go ahead, yes.
Yeah, all the committees are great. So hi again, I'm Chelsea Specht, and to you online. So as one of the roles of the Associate Dean of Faculty is to chair the Nominations and Elections Committee. So there's a couple of ways that you can end up serving the Faculty Senate, either through your membership of the as a senator or being on a committee. You can either be appointed or you can be elected. And there are people who Jill keeps that in mind, who's appointed and who's elected. But the Nominations and Elections Committee is the committee that comes up with the names for people to be considered either for nomination or for election. Again, either to as a senator at large, as a senator, as a faculty senator in general, or as a senator that is a member of a committee, or as a person who's on a committee. Now, as senators, you've just heard about all these committees that take place. You can be a senator and just kind of hang out and vote every once in a while, or you could be like, wow, one of those committees sounds really interesting, and I would love to be able to also dedicate a bit of my time and energy to make sure that that committee is functioning and is representing the some of the ideas that I have or the ideas of my constituencies. And so if any of these committees seem interesting to you and you're not already on one or chairing one, you would reach out to me personally or to the Nominations and Elections Committee through the Dean of Faculty Office and say, hey, I'm kind of interested in that committee. Would you consider my name? And then we'll process it through the way so that you can be a part of that group that is part of that decision-making process. So we're always looking for names. And then also, as a senator, you have that portrait on your office door, and people are coming to you and saying things about, you know, oh, I have an interest in this or an interest in that. Give me names of people in your department or in your college who might also be interested in serving on these committees. And that is a surefire way to get the values and the visions of your units represented in the actions that we take across campus. We try to make sure that we've got equal representation from all the different colleges and units, but some colleges and units are just better at volunteering than others, and their voices get heard more than others. So working towards that equal representation, each of you is a conduit to the Nominations and Elections Committee to make sure that we can get that representation across in the Faculty Senate.
This works too. And it's probably good for you to have a mic of your own. So Chelsea also reminded me to mention that, yes, if you have somebody passionate on either end of passion, so in the tails, they're excited about something or they're complaining about something, suggest they go and work on that committee to help move the agenda forward. And the other thing is, I want to sort of celebrate the fact that online here, you see all the identities, ourselves as parents, within our units, leadership, whatever it is, we bring all of those identities to the Senate and to the Senate committees, and it's valued. So I just wanted to say that out loud. I wanted to give you a sense of who we are. We're beyond, I think people think of the 2,000 or so university faculty as only the faculty, but we are not only the faculty. We are about almost 5,000 strong. So we have university faculty, which are the tenured track and tenured faculty. We have research, teaching, extension faculty who are non-tenured, contract-based faculty. And then we have emeriti. And all of us together are the faculty. And we are represented across three campuses. So Ithaca, Geneva, and Tech, 13 colleges and schools. Maybe it's 14 now with the School of Continuing Education. And we're about 130 strong. So I just wanted to share that. Is Kim Kopko, any chance that Kim Kopko's online? Is she online? Kim, are you there? I put a little note to myself. We do have one working group, and that's for research, teaching, and extension faculty. It's a Senate committee. And the research, teaching, faculty committee, it was stood up by the previous dean of faculty when RTE faculty became moved from the employee assembly, from academic staff, into the faculty senate as faculty. And so the job that we've been doing is really fully integrating RTE faculty into the senate and senate life and faculty life in a deep way. And so Kim Kopko is one of the co-chairs and a senator, so I was hoping that she'd be there. Okay. As you heard, we have the University Faculty Committee that sets the agenda for the Faculty Senate and also serves as an executive board. They are also serving with the Dean of Faculty and the Associate Dean of Faculty liaisons to the trustees, president, and provost. The provost comes once a month to meet with this committee, and then the other committee meeting is working on the agenda for the Faculty Senate. Nominations and Elections Committee, which we are always welcoming names and nominations for that group. And we have the university at large senators. And basically, each college and school and campus has a senator at large that can bring their selves to the Faculty Senate. So they're only representing themselves, unlike all, probably most of you who are representing constituents. I should mention, something that we're doing now as well, to we're creating lists for the RTE senators who are representing colleges. We're making a list of all RTE in the college as constituents so that you know where to send our Senate summaries and get feedback from your constituents. That wasn't so clear before, and so we make an effort to get those early in the year. So I think we've already drawn the list from IRP, and we're going to get the list out soon before this first Senate meeting. And we also have elected faculty trustees. So we have two of them, and they're elected by the full faculty. So that is our whole Faculty Senate. And of course, Jonathan, who's elected by the Senate. Next slide, please. And this is just, again, seeing the entire structure of who we are. I made this slide actually for the trustees because I like them to remember that we are a volunteer engine and driving policy and academic life on campus. Okay, next. So last year, this is just an example of the work that we did in the Senate, and there will be plenty of work for us to do this year. But last year, in terms of academic policy, we introduced the title of Professor of Practice into the Brooks School of Public Policy. The Cornell Bowers had also adopted two more RTE titles, Professor of Practice as well as Research Professor. And the SC Johnson School of Business or College of Business, they have now integrated and harmonized their tenure clock so that all faculty in the College of Business now have an 8-year tenure clock, which is different than the rest of the university. And so they had to justify why and how this benefits their faculty to the Senate. And there was a robust discussion about all of these, but in particular, that topic to ensure that this is something that's meaningful and something that's beneficial, especially to new faculty in the college. And they sufficiently argued that's the case. And so the Senate approved it. And now new faculty get to choose which clock. Whether they want a grandfather to a 6-year or choose the new 8-year, and then every new faculty member hired after this will be an 8-year clock. This is actually a topic that's going to come back to the Senate. AAP, Art, Architecture, and Planning, their college is also considering an 8-year clock because that's the standard for their profession. So this will be continued conversation this year. We also looked at academic policy on how honors are standardized across colleges. As you know, we're so decentralized, and every college had their own definition of honors and how to achieve it. Some students are in multi-college departments, and there was a differential between how they were treated versus someone from another college despite being in the same major. So we now have one system, for example. And in terms of well-being, this year we had the request that the university bring in a gynecologist into the Cornell Health. Last year, or actually the coming year, more relevant, the coming year, in terms of both well-being and academic policy, we'll be addressing the SWIM compliance, or the SWIM test, but now they're calling it the SWIM compliance. Next slide, please. Additional topics, as you can see, we have multiple or many types of visitors come to the Senate. And we are going to continue to think through RTE titles that will benefit the RTE faculty and give them the appropriate status that they deserve. We will also address structures to benefit the faculty in terms of academic accommodations. A lot of us have experienced a burden of having multiple styles of accommodation in one class. And the university did pilot a centralized testing program that's being expanded, but we want to formalize things. So that's definitely something we'll bring to the Senate this year. And the water competency, whether to keep it or to change it so that it's tied to the Red Cross standard, which is slightly lower. But a standard that I think is appropriate. So that's a debate that we'll have this year as well. And compliance. So we've made mountains move on getting credit compliance. So Cornell has been out of compliance with the New York State Education Department for about a decade. So yay me, I got to do the job of help facilitating all of us being in compliance so that Cornell can keep their federal dollars. So we did it, yay. The academic calendar changes are associated with us also being in compliance with New York State education, and they've been holding a lot of threats to the university. And so it was our job, part of the Senate and the Education Policy Committee, to think through those things as well, so that we can be in compliance, but also not be overburdened as faculty. Next slide. This slide is not for me to talk about, but as a reference for anybody who wants to understand the value that shared governance has at Cornell. It's very striking. When I looked at other universities, it's not as robust. This is a deeply robust shared governance structure. If you go to the party after this, you will see students as well as staff and faculty, and all of us are represented on the Board of Trustees and in the University Assembly. So it was striking. So if you want to learn more about the history of shared governance and why it's this way at Cornell, go at it. Next slide. Okay. No, I think that was it. Yep. So as I mentioned before, the University Assembly is the body that sets the agenda. I send out the agenda the Friday before our Wednesday meeting. That gives ample time for people to read any pre-reads that we have, to sometimes even go survey their faculty, but just giving the space for you to think through what's going to be presented to you on the Wednesday. And basically what we do is, I guess what I want to share is that once it's posted publicly and shared with you, there's always opportunity for anybody, faculty or faculty senators, to comment publicly. We keep it posted online, and people can start the conversation or extend the conversation beyond the Senate. And then I share it mostly, if I remember, in my Monday message. I'll be better this year to get it 100% of the time instead of most of the time. Next slide, please. And then if you have any faculty member can come to our Senate meetings. So no one has to ask permission. We only ask if there's a guest who's not a faculty member, a grad student, a postdoc, whomever, if they would like to come, that they just announce their presence to us 24 hours, just register with us that they're coming, and that will be helpful to us. Thank you. And I should mention that all these slides are going to be posted online, so there's no need to take photos. Okay, and then we take attendance just to know that we met quorum in case we have an in-session vote. Next slide, please. As Jonathan mentioned, we have a speaker that's been elected by the Senate, and the job of the speaker is really to ensure that we address, like, that we actually fulfill the agenda and what we've proposed. And there's opportunity, obviously, to comment, but there are parliamentary procedures and rules. And if you want to have sort of read up on it beforehand, and we follow primarily Robert's rules, then there are some resources online. And so we have them on our website, and we also will have this slide deck. Next slide, please. And the last thing I think I'll mention is the good of the order. The good of the order is something that any faculty member can, we always reserve about 5 minutes at the end to bring a topic that a faculty member thinks is important for our body to consider. And it's not legislated, it's not a drafted yet as a resolution, but just a topic. And Michael, I don't hope you don't mind if I give. So Michael gave the final good of the order at the Faculty Senate last year. He was not a senator last year, but this year he is. So we're really thankful. And it was the first time I've ever seen anybody get applause at the Faculty Senate. So, and I'm going to even say maybe he got a standing ovation. I've already like amplified this. But Michael brought a topic that he was very passionate about and has written legislation or proposal for. So that resolution will come to the Faculty Senate. And it's an important issue to RTE faculty. So this is something that anybody can do. I don't know if you guys remember conversations about the notatorium. That's something that came from the good of the order. You know, some faculty senator stood up and is like, the pools suck. Let's write a resolution around it. And what was beautiful, and this is something I haven't mentioned yet, is that it was something that came from the Faculty Senate, and it inspired all the other assemblies, the student assembly, the graduate student assembly, and the employee assembly, and the university assembly. All the assemblies passed a resolution on this. And so that is something that we can do, where it shows something compelling to central administration that this is important to the quality of life of our faculty and our entire community. Next slide, please. And after the meeting, you will receive a summary from me. I try my best to streamline it so that you might or somebody else might read it. But the idea is that I'm trying to do the hard work for you. So I will write a summary and you just forward it to your department and wait for feedback. And hopefully that's how it works. But it really is meaningful to me to hear back so that we're refining whatever it is that we're working on. Everything is publicly. So the previous dean of faculty, Charlie Van Loon, had this radical transparency policy, and I love it, and I'm keeping it. And so everything is publicly available for comment, whatever, everything's there for you to see. You can follow the history of a resolution. So the drafted resolution that we're gonna consider might go through three revisions, because once it goes to the RTE committee or the Academic Policies and Procedures Committee, once those things happen, you'll see each version posted online and available for comment. Okay, next slide. And anyone can place a motion. And I just wanted to make sure there was a slide there for you and your faculty to know how to do it. You either need 4 senators or 25 faculties to endorse it, or it comes through the University Faculty Committee. And next slide, please. And those are our dates. You'll see the asterisk there. That is only if needed. So the idea, second Wednesday of the month, we get together and we discuss. If there's a topic that's truly controversial or needs more discussion time, I then will sometimes use the faculty forum two weeks later, which is a more relaxed and less formal space. And I typically do those over Zoom, where it's an hour where we can continue to talk about a topic. I generally will take a recording of it and share it widely. So when we were talking about the RTE resolution that we passed last year about equity and structural equity and inclusion for RTE faculty, I sent that to the provost, the deputy provost, the chief human resources officer, all the deans. I just shared it widely and made sure that they all knew that this is a problem that we were working on and for them to think about. And that's the faculty fora do that. I know one that we will definitely do, and probably in November, is on generative AI in education. And so that will 100% be something that we'll do as part of a faculty forum. It will, our first Senate meeting, we're gonna just have the new Vice Provost of Academic Innovation present the report that just came out on generative AI. I think it's really thoughtful. It's very Cornell, because it was very scholarly and balanced. And so it didn't take fear only perspective. It also took a very optimistic perspective on how you could use it for good. So that will come to the Senate as well. Next slide, please. Oh, and then if there are any questions, I'm available. Chelsea's available. Just put up your hand online or in person. And this really is for the new senators to use however they would like. Well, that means we did a fantastic job. So I just want you to know I have an open door policy for you, but also any faculty member in your unit. And so if they need to reach out to me, then they can. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just curious about how a new committee gets formed. Like, how does the committee?
Should I introduce myself? Okay, I'm Sabrina Kareem. I'm an assistant professor in the government department, and this is my first time being on the Faculty Senate. I was just curious about how committees get formed, if there's, yeah, what the process is for that. And
I don't know. I haven't had the chance to do that. So the previous dean of faculty created the working group for research, teaching, and extension faculty. If there's a reason, so I should say RTE faculty are also serving on the standing committees as they are. If there seems to continue to be a need for that working group to become a standing Senate committee rather than integrated in other things, then I would bring it to the Senate for discussion. That, at least that's how I would approach it. Yes, that's how I would approach it. I'm not sure what another dean of faculty would do, but yeah. And I would have us vote. I would make it democratic. That's what I would do.
I was going to say, there's probably something in the bylaws about how to create or change committee structures. Yeah. I'm sure it's in there.
We're gonna
They're
check.
They're really long. Actually, if you might introduce the changes to the website that are going to be coming down and
yes.
let people know about those.
Yes, we are actively working on a new website to make it inviting and streamlined and cleaned up. So there are places, for example, academic integrity. If you go online and you feel like you have a student who's violated academic integrity and you want to understand what the process is and you go online, you will be immediately overwhelmed. And you might even get a little bit of contradictory information because there's the policy and then there's kind of the color commentary to interpret the policy, and sometimes they don't align. And so we're doing things like going through the handbook and trying to clean it up so it's only policy. We're gonna make it inviting, attractive, hopefully more fun. Anything else you wanna add, Chelsea?
It probably includes how to form a new committee.
And we might learn something.
Right, but it would be accessible. So I do think it's a really good point. Like, if there's something that you want addressed and it could already fall within the purview of an existing committee, and so you would be advised, like, hey, let's take this to this particular committee. If it seems like it is a large enough issue where it doesn't fit in the purview of an existing committee, then the working group is sort of the approach to then, you know, see if we can address it that way. And then probably if not, it would, or if it becomes that important, it might end up becoming a committee that it becomes permanent.
And I can give an example, actually. Thank you for saying that, Chelsea, and way more articulately. Thank you. I can give you an example. We had a working group on admissions, undergraduate admissions, and you know, it was standing for the year before I became the dean of faculty and the year after. And as the Supreme Court case became more and more impending, it made sense for that committee to join a university committee. And so I dissolved our working group and made sure there was Senate representation on the university's committee and made sure there was wide representation of the faculty. So in the end, it seemed like parallel work and maybe not also in a position to actually move anything. And so at least now faculty are in a place where they're closer to the resources that will actually move things. So that would be an example where something that was a working group moved elsewhere. And then the RTE is another example where maybe it becomes a standing committee, or it just is under the purview of other things that we have.
Has the university ever responded to the resolutions about the natatorium?
Yes. They're working on it. That's basically the response. So we, the entire Office of Assemblies had a resolution, as I mentioned, to get bring up the standard of the Cornell swimming pools. And it is, it's basically extremely expensive to do. They are looking for a funder. Right now, they have a donor. They have not found a donor who would be willing and able, or multiple. So what they're working on right now is a memorandum of operation with the Ithaca College, who has a fantastic natatorium. So in fact, for IV plus swimming competitions, Cornell has to go over there. And so they are working on getting transportation and time at the Ithaca College pool, but that has not been resolved yet.
Bob Weiss joined the meeting.
Oh, Bob Weiss is here. And Bob, sorry to put you on the spot. Would you mind just describing the work of your committee?
Yeah, sorry, I can't be there in person. I had another commitment. But I serve as chair of the A.D. White Professor at Large Selection Committee. It's a really terrific job to have that program. If people aren't aware, brings distinguished artists and scholars to campus to engage with our campus community. So we have a roster of professors at large spanning disciplines, life sciences, physical sciences, social sciences, arts, and humanities. It's about 20 professors at large on the roster at any given time. And those individuals are appointed for 6-year terms. And then during that period, they visit campus typically twice for 1-week periods and are during that time engaging with our whole campus, trainees at all levels, faculty, staff, and local community. So the selection committee is really tasked with soliciting nominations, reviewing nominations, and identifying individuals to join this program as professors at large. And they're really outstanding scholars that are part of this program. So being on the committee is a real delight to be able to interact with these individuals. And just to put in a plug for the fall, we have 4 visits coming up, all really remarkable individuals: an immunologist, Ellen Rothenberg, a physicist, Carl Wieman, an entomologist, May Barenbaum, currently editor-in-chief of PNAS as well, and then Steve Quake, a biomedical engineer. So those are just a handful of a current A.D. White Professor at Large appointees among the about 20 we have currently. So yeah, it's a terrific program, and it's a real pleasure to serve on that committee.
Thank you, Bob. Any other questions before we go to the reception? Yes.
Louis Longchamp, SIPS, Carl SIPS. I was just wondering, so kind of just curiosity, when I saw where the senators were coming from, Geneva, Cornell Tech, and Ithaca, I was wondering if the global hubs have representation within the Senate, or if there's a plan for that.
They are already represented in my mind, because the global hubs are faculty derived. And so the faculty usually are already in collaboration through their scholarship with someone in another country, and they establish the hubs so that students can go and work with those universities and have a bi-directional exchange. So that, for me, that's how the global hubs are represented here already. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you all, and welcome.